particular? Yes. In Salvador. Okay, this is a, I'm going to answer your question in the voice of a campesino man. This campesino man is about 50 years old, he has 7 children. And he had to leave El Salvador because he makes cheese. And the army was accusing him of, because the cheese needs no refrigeration, the army was going to kill him to prevent him from selling his cheese to anybody who might be fighting with the guerrillas. So he had to leave. Because he made the wrong kind of cheese, but he explained the election to me, and here is his words. And I begin with this little piece. We remember the long lines of the last election, the sun hissing midday heat over the crowds, and in some villages, the people ducking into polling places under gunfire. It was an election, and people voted in record numbers. Yes, the campesino says, in my village, we voted. Many people had already left because of fear and couldn't vote. A poor man doesn't vote because he has no address. His shack, what address can it have? Last time they said we would be voting for peace. This is the election you're referring to. In some places when you vote, they make a mark on your thumb with ink that doesn't wash off to keep you from voting twice. They also take the number of your ID card for the ballot. The National Guard comes to the village and says, we will know how you vote. What difference does it make? If I don't vote, people say I am a subversive. If our whole village doesn't vote, that is the end for our village. Everybody votes. He says it better than I could. That's for that election. Now they're saying they're going to have another one, but now they're sort of getting edgy and nobody really wants to have one in the government now, so they've postponed it. I don't expect it to happen anytime soon. Yes. They are involved everywhere, yes, but you can't work openly with Amnesty International in Salvador because of so many executions of Human Rights Commission people who work for human rights. So they obtain information from trusted sources and they verify each piece of information but with 3 trusted sources in country. When I was there, I was supplying the information to Amnesty, but the government certainly didn't know that at the time. They do reports. They are keeping their organization very much appraised of what's going on, and their information is very accurate. Yes. Relatively speaking, no. I can't say. I am not going to tell you that the present administration and State Department like me, because they don't. But they don't bother me too much. And I can't predict the future there in terms of Salvadoran, right-wing Salvadorans in this country and their retaliatory moves. But I don't really worry about it, you know, too much. And the minor things that I do notice are nothing compared to what people go through there, so it's negligible, actually. Yes. Well, in traveling throughout this country in the last year, I've been amazed at how many are interested. Because when I first came back from Salvador, no one was interested at all. The other thing is that in terms of the depression, Monsignor Romero taught me a lot about that. If you simply, with an informed conscience, do whatever needs to be done and make whatever decision needs to be made moment to moment, with no goal, with no idea that you are going to accomplish something, or that I can't have in mind that I'm going to change Mr. Reagan's mind, or something like that. If I think that, I'm going to set myself up to be discouraged, and then I might feel that it wasn't worth it to do this work. If I simply do it for its own sake in a moment, because it's correct, right, whatever, then it's fine. You avoid despair, and you also avoid hope, and both of them are probably not necessary to the job, you know? And I don't know. I think that one individual can do a lot here, especially in here. I really do believe that. The sleep. Yes, that's what I focus on anyway. Yes. No. I don't have either. I'm not a pessimist or an optimist. I don't have it anymore. I don't know. Yes. I studied Spanish in college for 1 year. I studied it in graduate school. And then I learned the rest very fast on my feet in country, and some in Spain before I went to Salvador. And then I was first in Salvador 5 years ago, 6 years ago. And many of my friends are in exile now, and they don't let me speak English with them, so on. After a while, you can. Yes. Yes. There are Charlie Clements, 3 tours of duty in Vietnam as a fighter pilot, 2 years in the jungle in Salvador, in the mountains of Huazapa, treating refugees and anybody else who was wounded. 2 years in a combat zone, Charlie Clements, MD. He's a wonderful man. I mean, I could name, there's not too many Americans that I know. There's 4 Americans fighting with the guerrillas. And 2 who fought with the guerrillas died doing that. So there was 6 altogether that I know of. That part of the work, they have Americans. And, you know, you run into Americans in strange places. You know, one man who set up a beautiful clinic way out in the middle of nowhere in Mexico, having nothing, you know, no materials or anything, and he managed to treat people. And his clinic was 2 days by mule to get to it. So you run into people, you know, here and there. Yeah. It was very dangerous during January, February, and March 1980. I'm very lucky. I never shot anyone, but I had a gun once in a while. And one time only because an old man, 70 years old with leukemia, was with me. And he was almost dead. He was a professor and scholar of political science, and he was on the death list. That's what it's from. Yes. Well, I had a little tape recorder, yeah, that I use sometimes, as it turns out, you know, dangerously, foolishly. And I used my memory, and I also wrote on my arms and on my legs, you know, and different parts of my body, and then I go home and copy it before I take a shower and things like that, and my mind, and sometimes papers. It varied, but I used my own skin a lot. And I had to use a pen that wouldn't wash off very easily, so it wouldn't come off. And then sometimes it was very hard to get all the sentences off my skin. Yes. I was put on Major D'Arbuisson's death list, and they made 4 attempts. 2 of them because I was with other people on the list, and 2 on my own. And I was very lucky and met with Monsignor Romero the week before he died for 3 hours in the kitchen of the nuns at Divine Providence Hospital. And he persuaded me. He said, "You have so much now, you have to go back to the United States and write and talk, whatever you can do, whatever you like." And I said, "No, I just need a little bit more time, a few more days." You know, you get into a mentality and you can't even see the situation clearly that you're in, right? You just propelled forward like that. And he said, "No, you're going home." And it went back and forth and back and forth like that. And I said, "Why don't you go out? You're on the list." He said, "Look, my place is with my people now, and your place is with yours, and you have to get out of here now." So he arranged for me to be taken out of the country, and he was killed 8 days later. Yes. It's difficult, yeah. Okay, first of all, there are not 3 or 4 or 5 groups. There is the government, which is the military and whatever civilians they're allowing to sit with them at any given time. And that hasn't changed all of this century. Okay? And then there is what's called the civilian right. And most of the wealthy people live in Miami, Houston, and New Orleans now. They don't live in El Salvador. And there are certain civilians who are in the country who are very right-wing and have strong ties with the military. And they work together with the military. But they have the same, they're locked together. Okay? And then there is the population. There are those who don't know what they should support. There are those who support the guerrillas. There are those who want the war to end and they want the government out, but they're not sure what they want to take its place. The population at large, in the majority, opposes the government. That does not mean they are united on what they want to have replace it. Do you see what I'm saying? In terms of the solution, it really doesn't matter what I tell you, because the present administration is seeking a military victory in El Salvador. So we will cope with that for a moment. And I will tell you that a cold assessment of the military situation in El Salvador indicates that the Salvadoran government cannot win a military victory without extensive help from the United States, much more than we've given them. I will tell you one of the reasons I'm saying that. Do you remember when all the Salvadoran soldiers were brought here to Fort Bragg and Fort Benning for training? 85% of the first group of 1,000 are no longer in the military. 57% of every soldier trained here is no longer in the military. He is dead, or he is wounded, or he has deserted, or he has not re-enlisted. 348 of the soldiers trained at Fort Benning and Fort Bragg are now fighting with the guerrillas. Why is this? The soldier gets out of the military, he goes back to his village, half of his village is dead because the security forces move through there. He has no job. He has no money. He has no hope. He has no future. It's the same as when he went in. And he is risking his life, and for who? So he gets a little discouraged, and he goes over to the other side. So we're training gorillas, too. Okay? Now, the situation is that you use your imaginations a little bit about what it will take to achieve a military victory in that situation. That's what you have to do. Now, I will tell you something else. 30% of the American aid money is stolen by the high command of the Salvadoran army. They are like a mafia. They have been stealing 30% of the aid for years. That's why the president of El Salvador can retire with $10 million in a New York bank on a $200 a month salary as a colonel. To be president or one of the ministers of Salvador is one of the most lucrative business opportunities in the hemisphere. Salvadoran officer corps doesn't own any coffee. They don't own any land in El Salvador. They own their job as the Americans' stability force in that particular part of the world. So, how much money are we going to have to give them? Well, I was sitting in the Congress in April 2nd, 1980, when the first $5.5 million was approved to be sent military aid to Salvador. Since that time, we have sent $1 billion to El Salvador. How much is it going to cost? Are the same conditions of poverty and repression becoming true in Honduras? Have they been true in Guatemala for some time? What is going on in Nicaragua? You must put this all together and use your own logic and your own imagination. Despite the little information that you're given, and you are given very little, you know what's going on. Yeah. First of all, I don't think that all of the Sandinista leadership is as intelligent and enlightened as it might be important to be in this period. And there are Salvadorans who are of very high caliber, as are some of the Sandinistas. But the situation is not, the conditions are not very favorable for the development of stable economic structures in any particular order or political democracy in Salvador at this time, so it would be difficult to say. One of the results of this war has been that almost all of the political minds were forced to either become guerrillas or leave the country, or they were assassinated. Many were assassinated. So the country is a bit depleted at the moment. I can't make predictions. I don't have a crystal ball. There are five guerrilla groups, three major ones and two minor ones. They are fighting amongst each other right now over the issue of negotiations and how hardline they want to be and all of that. There are groups that are much better than others in those five. They differ amongst themselves very, very strongly on the issue of Soviet friendliness to the Soviet Union, Soviet alignment. They differ on a number of things. So they are not in themselves united in certain ideological respects. There's one group that's very capable in terms of political thinking. Another group is very capable militarily, and so on and so on. They all have their separate strengths. Yes. Yes. I think it is a wonderful, evocative account of what it would feel like to be an American woman who spends 2 weeks in El Salvador. Did I see something bad? You can quote me. It's all right. Yes, Michael. Cuba is supplying aid via Nicaragua. Approximately, I'm going to guess for you, okay? I make an educated guess, but it is my estimation. It's approximately 1/16 of what we are giving the Salvadoran government to fight back against them. They also have quite a network within El Salvador where they build homemade claymores and things. They have cottage industry weapons. They make things like, they use silica and various things and wrap masking tape around it, and I mean, very effective but homemade kinds of things. And also they had a $27 million war chest when they started out. And they got that by certain of the small groups kidnapping businessmen and wealthy Salvadorans and holding them for ransoms. Of the many kidnappings, they murdered one victim. They did do that. They accumulated $27 million and they bought arms on the international arms market. Many of the arms they bought in the United States, in Texas and California. If you have the money, you can buy any weapon produced in any country in any quantity. And just because you find a weapon in El Salvador and it's maybe a Kalashnikov, that does not tell you who sold it to whom or even where it was produced. The international arms market is an open bazaar in both senses of the word. The only thing you can't buy is an SS-20 or a MX or a D-5 or that kind of thing. I don't think they're selling tridents either, but you can buy anything. You can buy submachine guns, that kind of thing. Anything. Grenade launchers. I'll tell you a little story. In 1976, the chief of staff of the Salvadoran Armed Forces was arrested in Mount Kisco, New York, for attempting to sell 10,000 machine guns to men he thought were members of the American Mafia, and who in effect were Mount Kisco local police in plain clothes, in rented Cadillacs from the local Cadillac dealer. They videotaped Rodriguez boasting that he, as chief of staff of the armed forces, could sell them the following year $2.5 million worth of military hardware, including Sten guns, rocket launchers, and tanks. Guess where he was going to get that equipment? The 10,000 machine guns weren't even out of their crates in the United States. So because of the videotapes, to the embarrassment of our own intelligence agencies, he was tried and convicted by the community of Mount Kisco, New York, and sentenced to 2 consecutive 5-year prison terms in upstate New York. He served 2 years of the 10 years, and he was deported, and he now lives in a very nice house in a colonia outside San Salvador, and he drives a Mercedes-Benz. His commanding officer was the Minister of Defense, who would have had to have not only known about the deal and approved it, but actually would have gotten a cut of it. He became El Salvador's next president, Romero. He was overthrown in the 79 coup. Now, all of this has been going on for a long time. I could tell you other stories, but I thought that was sort of the funniest. If you would like a little education, call the Mount Kisco local police and ask for Lieutenant Sarsena and ask him to tell you about this story. Then call the State Department, the Salvador desk, Pete Romero, and say to him, what can you tell me about? What do you have on this? What can you tell me about? What's the State Department's view of that case? And they will tell you that they don't have files going back that far. Then you can call the Salvadoran embassy. Ask them if Rodriguez was ever prosecuted for his attempt to do this. And that will give you everything you need to know. Yes? The Kissinger report will most likely give a kind of academic credibility to the Reagan fiasco. And that's what I think. In Congress, the main thing that I worked on over the last year and a half was the Boland Amendment to cut off funding to covert operations against Nicaragua. And, you know, what we have to do is wait until budgets come up. So I also worked on the 3 human rights certifications and on fiscal requests for military aid to Salvador. And right now I'm not doing anything with the Congress because it's not possible to at the moment. Yes. This morning, the President announced that American troops would stay in Grenada. This morning, American naval exercises were conducted off the coast of Cuba. I'm trying to keep as clear an assessment of what is going on as I can. I don't know how far he is going to go. I think with the Boland Amendment, covert aid was cut off. And instead, they're going to send twice as much overt aid to the Honduran government, and the Honduran government will give it to the Contras openly. So that was the effect of that. Okay? What's going to happen is very serious, and Nicaragua is very vulnerable at the moment militarily. I don't know the purposes of the naval exercises that began this morning off Cuba. It's anyone's guess at this moment what's going to happen. I can't tell you, and I'm watching like you are. Yes. For the poorest of the poor, enormously. The people who are unhappy are people who had a lot more to lose than they had to gain. But the Sandinist government also made mistakes. They're also a very young government. Yes. Yes, it's the Big Pine operation you're talking about. It's still going on, and what they're doing is they're building airports, they're building ports, they're building radar stations, they're putting in an infrastructure to show the Hondurans how to do it. But then they're going to leave them all there. So Big Pine is a way of turning Honduras into Cambodia. There. For quite some time, yes. And they're thinking about renewing it when Big Pine is over. So what you have is 4,000 soldiers building airstrips, et cetera, in Honduras for an indefinite period of time. We're going to be in Grenada for an indefinite period of time. We're going to be in Lebanon for an indefinite period of time. And pretty soon we're going to have to go to the Philippines and South Korea. Yes, probably. I would imagine so. I don't know how many people are flocking to join the Marines, but I've heard that they do have recruits after the deaths in Lebanon. Yes. Shall I be kind or I learned that I can't expect them to be logical, and they do not understand the realities within the countries that they are dealing with. They are posturing. They are committed to symbolic gestures and to a containment of what they perceive as Soviet aggression. Nothing that they're doing it really matches the reality. I don't think Mr. Reagan knows very much about Central America or about Lebanon. I can't help you to try to make sense of this. I tried for a long time. He smiles very well and he combs his hair nicely. That's what he does, yes. Works, doesn't it? The Grenada invasion was in violation of the Organization of American States treaties, the UN treaties, the War Powers Resolution, and the 1981 treaty which established the Organization of Eastern Caribbean States. Therefore, in violation of every treaty we are party or signatory to. Now, we could say that we are showing the world that we will defend our allies, or we could say that we are showing the world that our word is good for nothing. Yes. Thank you. I'm going to go now. Thank you. You've been very attentive. Thank you.